We're in Ephesians chapter 5, looking at verses 22 to 33. We've heard the Apostle Paul speak about the life of a Christian believer. He tells us, awaken out of your sleep. Be the light of Jesus Christ. And that gives us a life of meaning when we are the light of Christ. Paul goes on to say, be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And you know, apart from the Holy Spirit, we flounder. You ever seen a freshly caught fish, how they flop around? They flounder. That would be us without the Holy Spirit. We can find ourselves running around, occupying our time with busy duties and things that are not necessarily things of God. We can become victims of necessity, doing the things that life calls for. Many of us going to a steady job, raising our children, my case, feeding the cows, mowing the grass. Got a little personal there, I have some cows. And we can turn around, and before we know it, our kids are having kids, and life is slipping us by. So stop, pump the brakes, slow down, and consider the important things about life. And here we are in March of 24, Easter time, resurrection time. I'm a senior citizen, but I'm past retirement age, and time seems to fly by me. So I speak to you younger people. A simple message. Lay up treasures in heaven for yourselves. Be spirit-filled. Shake yourself from the everyday life and duties that can consume us. And in short order, be spirit-filled. Now, I'm a creature of habit. Monday morning comes, and my routine starts all over again. I start Monday morning preparing for Sunday morning. So I go through a full week, and I attempt to entice Lori, my wife, to consider going back to work. Not because we need the money, but she won't budge. She's not going to go back to work. Then I try to encourage my children. Stay close to the Lord. Walk a life that has no regrets. Be a good Christian. And Paul, he's motivated by the Holy Spirit as an apostle. He writes many letters to the Christian world. And it centers around being spirit-filled. Be obedient to Jesus. And our daily morning devotions, I have my devotions in the morning. You may have them in the evening, but I have mine in the morning. And I ask the Lord to direct my path that day. Lord, I don't want to get so busy with duties and responsibilities that I don't see the opportunities to serve you. We're to consider what God has for each of us every day. And try not to load up with your life with things, a things to-do list. We just had Lori's brother down from Alaska. And he's an achiever. He just retired. But idleness is not in his vocabulary. And he moves from one project to the next. And he never misses a heartbeat. He calls retirement refocusing. I kind of like that. And we can pass through this life so quickly. And we can be captured by the pressing issues of daily life. So, like Paul advises, be spirit-filled, allow God and his spirit to activate your spirit. Allow the Lord to give you a life of meaning. I like to ask the Lord, what would you have for me this day? What are your plans for this day? And I want to see the good works before they pass me by. I want to see them as they approach. I want to be walking in the Spirit to the point that I can see where God is directing and taking control of my life. The Lord will give your life meaning if you will allow him. A Christian is supposed to be spirit-filled. We are. And we're to be in constant submission. In verse 21 of Ephesians 5 declares, submit to one another in the fear of God, or consider the feelings of others. Let your spouse, or possibly your child, have your full attention. I'm not saying disregard the household structure or job structure, but with that, let's lead in to Ephesians 5:22. And we have instructions from Paul by the will of God. Verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. He's the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husband, love your wife, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify, cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let his wife see that she respects her husband. I have done weddings in the past, and I've had some women, don't talk about that submitting to a husband stuff. I said, you don't want me to do your wedding. You find somebody that will give you other reasons for a wedding. I'm going to give you a Christian reason for a wedding. The scriptures are clear. It's the authority of the family structure. It's not my will, it's God's will. Submit literally means to be under in rank. It's a military word being used there by the Apostle Paul. Now, this does not mean your husband is smarter than you ladies or more talented, not a better person. It all has to do with God's appointed order. Not with value or ability, submitting is an act of the will. Basically, to submit is a humble approach to God's order for things. Paul wrote in Corinthians 5, 1 through 5, submit to his authority as an apostle. Paul would ask that the Christians in the churches submit to him as an apostle. And in our men's study, we just finished the book of Hebrews, and Hebrews chapter 13, 17 says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive to government authorities. So there's a pecking order that God would establish, and it's one of submission. Paul means to take your position into everyday life and be in order. When I was an elder in Modesto, California, way back there, I had a young man come to me that had recently gotten married, and he told me, "My wife won't submit to me." I surprised him with my answer. "I would not submit to you either." Wouldn't. Now, I've been married over 38 years to my lovely wife, and I've never said to her, "Submit to me." I've never said that to her. Lori has seen my behavior. She's seen me as a husband, the head of a home, and she knows I consider her welfare in all my decisions. Hopefully she knows it. You know that, don't you? Yeah. Oh, yeah. And a Christian marriage is different than a worldly or a secular marriage. The wives' submission to their own husbands, limiting the whole idea of submission. Paul is speaking of family order here. Let there be harmony in the home. And when Peter spoke of how Sarah showed Abraham respect as her master, and Peter praises Sarah for this lifestyle. Abraham was not Sarah's lord in a godly setting, but Abraham was the leader of his family, and Sarah submitted to him in that leadership. In the authority and structure, the husband is head of the wife and family. That's God's way. And the example is given, Christ is the head of the church and the church's savior. So Paul clearly sets in order family structure. The whole idea of submission is scriptural. Jesus submitted to his parents until he was 30. Demons submitted to the disciples in Luke 10. We citizens are to submit to the government authorities over us. And the list goes on and on. So it's a life of submission as a Christian. When the end times all wrap up and are done, Jesus will have the entire world submit to himself as Lord. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess he is God. We Christians show our love, the love of Jesus, by submitting to his word. We have a rule. We have an authority over us. Now, let me say, for a wife to submit to her husband is much easier. It's an easy task for a wife to submit when the husband loves the wife as Jesus loved the church. The young man that I mentioned, he needed to demonstrate his love to his wife where she would submit. And the love that Apostle Paul here talking about is agape love, a love that comes from a heart of spontaneous reaction. Agape love is a choice to love in a different, deeper way. Agape love is chosen over feelings. Agape love does the best for a person beyond the emotions. There's no consideration of self in agape love. Agape love comes by choice. And Christians receive God's agape love knowing and realizing the price Jesus paid for our salvation and for fellowship with us. Jesus's agape love came to us not because he just loved us, but listen to this. Jesus' agape love saw what we could be in him, and so he loved us beyond comparison. And he bestowed upon us his full self, his agape love, had foresight for us to be all that we can be in him. Agape love is a giving love. It's a hearty love. It's a love that we can do only in the Spirit of God. Paul continues his writings of love. A man is to leave his father and mother and cling to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Husbands, love wives. You're to prefer your wife. The wife is to prefer her husband. When Lori and I first got married, we made an agreement that we would not joke or tease one another in the presence of our family. When you joke or tease someone, that puts that person in a defensive stature. They begin to want to defend themselves. And that can be a difficult place to be. Do not put your wife or husband in a position of defense. Show them love and respect. And Paul, he concludes this whole passage with, husbands, love your wives in the same way that you love yourself. When we love ourselves, we take notice of every small thing that affects us. We take care of this old self naturally. So take care of your wives. Wives, love your husbands in the same manner. But it doesn't say, wives, love your husbands. Notice what it does say. Wives, respect your husbands. What a difference. When you show someone respect, you're showing love. You're showing the appreciation you have for that person, and you honor your husband when you respect your husband. Us men folk are not so gushy-gushy about it. We want to see the respect of our wives come towards us. Yep, it even says submit, women, and I won't make that soft. I won't make that easy. It can be a difficult thing to submit sometimes, especially when you think you know better. But the Lord will honor you if you honor his word by submitting. When you show that kind of respect for your husband, the Lord is pleased. Husbands, we're told to love our wives. Why? Because we're supposed to. It's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to love our wives and be a Christ-like figure in their lives. So with that, let me get you to stand and we'll close in prayer. And just a little reminder. Husband, love your wives. Wives, respect your husband. Amen. Father God, it is not always easy for us to love or to show agape love. It is not always easy when a wife considers she knows better when her husband asks her to submit. But Lord, it's your order. You even say that the wives can win their husbands over if he's an unbeliever by submitting to him. So Lord, let us as believers submit first of all to you and to your order. Let us submit to one another and let us love one another. And wives, love your husband. And we pray for this and ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.